Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 599.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone. My hello never sounds good when I got the allergy stuff going on. Brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment. And not just them, but the people like you, John. Well, not like you, but like our listeners, the Auburn family.
They're people like me.
They are. They're more like you than me, maybe. Who knows? There's not a lot of people like me.
We're off the rails already.
I haven't even gotten the introduction out yet. Oh, Lord, this is what happens. This is what happens to your mental sanity. You're in my mental sanity when we're trying to do a show while watching the two great Satans battle it out for who will be the master of the pits of hell on our TVs right now. That's what happens. This is what you get. Shall I continue, I guess?
Please.
I guess. People like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very own Patreon.com family that puts up with nonsense like this. I am Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my long-suffering co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
No doubt about that. Oh, John, we are watching Alabama-Georgia right now, and I was just taking note a moment ago that with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, Georgia was in negative yardage on offense. But they got things kind of turned around by bringing in noted Auburn transfer George Pickens, who caught a long pass. I call him noted Auburn transfer because he transferred before he ever even, like, enrolled, right? He pledged or whatever, and then decided not to. So I count him as a former Auburn player that way. And it's 3-3 now. So what are your before we get into our Auburn stuff, just real quick, because nobody wants to hear much about this, I'm sure. I don't. But what are you making of this game so far? It's 3-3 in the second quarter.
It's a defensive struggle. It's not surprising to me that Alabama's, controlling Georgia's offense, but Georgia's doing a good job hitting Bryce Young, knocking him down and stuff, and getting them on the ground. So, all right. Anyhow,
3 seconds ahead of John, so I react.
You're going to hear live reactions during the show if something stupid happens. At Van's cable connection is ahead of mine, so
for one. So have you seen Alabama?
I saw him throw about a 50-yard pass there.
I saw like 13 Georgia players about to sack Alabama's quarterback, and he still completed a pass. And of course, the receiver was wide open with nobody within 10 yards of him.
Well, but that's Jamison Williams, and it looks like he's hurt.
Yeah, it does.
So that's bad for Alabama. Anyhow. Anyway. We're not going to talk about that the whole podcast.
No, we're not. We're not.
Yeah. We don't care. There's a reason we're recording the podcast during the game. That shows our level of care of that game.
That's exactly right. We have more important things to talk about, which is Auburn. And so I guess we got to talk about the hoops team a little bit. And we got some football news, too, to cover.
Yeah,
Auburn got a new calzone. That'll be cool. But the basketball team, John, is making us very, very, very happy. It's back to being my happy place again like it was a couple of years ago.
It's as fun and as great as Auburn basketball has ever been. And honestly, more talented, more dominant than we have ever been.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes. And we knew this team had that potential, but they had to come together. And they're coming. We're witnessing. I mean, I don't think they're fully together yet. And yet, look what they're doing.
No. They're not at the peak of what they're going to be, but also right. You say we knew it, they had the raw parts.
Yeah.
Until you see the raw parts together, you don't know where the gaps are, where the weaknesses are and stuff.
Yeah.
And will the players embrace the playing together and giving up minutes or coming off the bench and that kind of stuff.
And they have to figure that out for themselves organically over time, and that's what the last few games have been for. I don't think if we played UConn again right now, I don't think it would be. I think we'd beat them by 15. It's because it just shows how far they've come, and they still got a ways to go. But they're figuring out how to work together to be the best team they can be. And it seems like at least most of the players on this team want to do that. There's not a lot. I mean, there's a lot of great individual talents, but there's not a lot of hot dogs. You know what I mean? It looks like they are all pretty content to do what their role is from game to game.
Well, and also because they know the team is so deep, there's going to be games when the other guys are cold or they're in foul trouble, whatever else, and it's going to be their turn to step up. KD Johnson had not had a big offensive game in a couple of weeks and came in and was huge in that game.
And Bruce is the kind of coach that knows how to get that performance out of the right player at the right time. Because the quote was that, I forget exactly, Bruce said something to him when he went in. And it was something funny too, because I remarked about it, and I can't remember what it was now. But yeah, I mean, it's like if Kessler's in foul trouble and Jabari's maybe being covered up and can't really be as creative as he'd like to be, and Wendell's not having a great night, and this, that, and the other, then KD can come in and he can go off. I mean, we've got so many weapons and so many different kinds of weapons on this team. And I don't love this team yet quite the way I did the Final Four team. Because that Final Four team had a personality that I can't think of many football or basketball teams in Auburn history that I just loved watching them play and just loved them as individuals on that court, not just as an Auburn team, that we always love. But I think this team's got that potential because it's got so many characters.
Yep.
They're colorful.
They are. They have personality. They play with personality.
Yeah.
All right, so here's your first challenge. I want you to choose one or two words to describe this basketball team.
Man. Defense and I want to say like improving, but there's a better word than that. They play great defense, and I think they're just getting better and better. It's just upward. How about that trajectory? What do you think?
I think one of the words I'd have to use is depth. I mean, just think they have ridiculous depth.
Yes.
Insane depth, and we're going to talk about that. And
there's two things that Bruce said. Let me, while you're collecting your thoughts. There was a great interview. I tweeted it. With Bruce, just brief, but it was really interesting. There were two things about it I thought were interesting. One, he talked about the depth. He says, I'm playing 11 against most teams 8. And in the second half, the five, he basically said, I'm just paraphrasing like that. He said, the five I have in there in the second half are going to be fresher than theirs. And that's the same strategy Pat Dye used to use with our defensive front, back in the 80s. The other thing I thought was interesting, he said, we funnel everything on defense down the lane to Kessler, to the middle. He says, we play defense from the outside in. He said, most teams play defense from the inside out and try to keep you out. We try to push you in where we can block and take away the ball and everything. I thought that was really fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's a different style, right? It's being more aggressive in their face out on the perimeter. And also it allows the perimeter defenders on Auburn to go more aggressive. That is, in years past and with this team, it's not an issue, is the fear of the guy getting past you, right? If you play up in his face close to him, chest to chest, then there's a danger that he gets by you, and he's going to get a layup or whatever in some years. And now you're like, oh, he's just going towards Kessler. This is not going to work. So.
Yeah, and it's been noted that players will come down the lane thinking they've got a layup or a dunk and just bail out when they see what they're running into. I love the idea.
Oh, yeah, you see some of them just do the little, like, oh, I'm just going to circle back out here. I'm not even going to try that shot.
That's so great. It just feels so good. I like to step back and look at the macro picture for just a second, too. It feels so great to be a fan of a team that's able to do these kind of things, because we've had so many years. I mean, you know, even the Final Four team wasn't dominant during the year. They just could scratch and claw, and they had players that could do certain things that if it worked out, they were really good. I mean, Bryce Brown shooting threes, Jared doing his thing, you know, Chuma and everything, all those role players, all the big guys. But they were never dominant. I don't think that team was ever dominant. I think it was just supremely competent and growing confidence over the course of the postseason. But they could have, I mean, they almost lost in the first round of New Mexico State, remember? I mean, you know, they squeaked by every game in the SEC tournament. They won them, yeah. And every time they won, it increased their confidence, and confidence goes a long way in tournament basketball when you're playing game after game after game, you know. But they were never like an NBA team out on the floor. They were just a scrappy as crap, good SEC team. This team looks like, this looks like a Duke or a Kansas. You know what I'm saying? This looks like a one of those kind of team.
That team had could score in bunches, yes, in big spurts and just, yeah, get nuclear hot,
yes,
right, and score 10 or 15 points like that, right?
Yes.
This team has the thing where they have so many guys that are very talented and confident and could create their own shot that, you know, we have a game like the other night where Kessler's in foul trouble, Jabari Smith's in foul trouble, he's not having a great game, and it's fine. Katie Johnson, Jalen Williams step up and start taking over. Wendell Green has another great game, and we're beating Florida. So
who saw that coming?
The depth of this team allows different guys to step up and make, you know, plays, but also to know that, like, I don't have to carry the team in four shots either. Like, you don't see guys have doing that because they know my teammates have got me. They've got it. I don't have to be, you know, I can be continue to be aggressive, and then on my days, if it's going in for me and it's easy, then they're going to feed me the ball, and if it's not, I'm going to feed them, and they're going to get good looks.
Yeah, and it's, I think it was it Wendell or KD that said, one of them said after the game, the bench on this team is just as good as the starters and can play as well and whatever, you know, and they do, and they can.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about one guy in particular, and that's Jalen Williams, who is incredibly valuable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is a very talented and is an incredibly valuable seventh man on this team, right? But and was maybe the MVP of the team last year with all the issues we had with different positions. How many years, let's say that we're talking about 30 years of basketball, how many years out of those 30 would Jalen Williams have been the best player on Auburn's team?
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
A lot.
20?
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's fair.
He's not in the top five right now.
No.
No. Yeah.
But the other piece that I think is, I think people give Bruce Pearl does not get enough respect for this element of his coaching, right? I think people look at the X's and O's stuff with basketball coaches like they do with football coaches, but a big thing that Bruce has done with this team and with some of his other teams is get players to buy into the rotation and their role into, you know, some guys who are very talented, good players coming off the bench or not getting as many shots as they would on another team. And they're okay with that. And so that doesn't happen by accident.
And they're okay with that is a, yeah. That's right. That's, you're like, they're not complaining. There's no malcontentism. There's no bad blood in the locker room, as far as I can tell so far. It's like they signed up for a ride, and they're on that ride, and they're happy to be on that ride. I mean, and KD had some comments where he said, I've never been on a team like this. I've never played in an atmosphere like this, in front of a crowd like this and everything. I mean, he basically said, this is the high point of my basketball life so far, being on this team. And that's I'm sure that's true for all of them.
And again, on Saturday night, the home court advantage was gigantic, right? I want people to understand this, and I'm not speaking about Tuesday in particular. This basketball team is going to lose games. Okay, it is going to happen. They've lost one game this season. They're going to lose several more between now and the time the tournament starts, and probably going to be on the road where, you know, we always, the the conventional wisdom, like in a football game, is that home field advantage is worth 3 points. And I think it's, you know, maybe in some places that they lowered it down a little bit. Probably in Jordan Hare, it's probably at least that, right? Mm-hmm. But Auburn's home court advantage in basketball is like 10 points, okay?
Yes.
And you saw the LSU team that we beat pretty solidly, they turned around and beat Kentucky and Tennessee the next two games. So, you know, that, because those games, you know, were in their home. So I think it matters more, you know, than people expect. And there's going to be a game on the road where this team doesn't look quite as good as they have at home. And I just, I'm telling you now, this is going to happen.
Yep.
It's okay. Don't freak out when it happens. It doesn't mean the world is falling or it was fool's gold or anything else.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And this just occurs to me. I should have thought of this sooner. But I've been watching the scores of other games over the last few couple of weeks, right? How they've come out, like you were just talking about LSU and everything. And what it's dawning on me is, you know, people are saying now that Auburn is expected to win the SEC. They weren't saying this 2 weeks ago. But they're saying now Auburn is expected to win the SEC by multiple games. And I was very reluctant to embrace that. I don't want to jinx us or anything like that, right? Not that I have any power. But, here's where I think that's coming from. And I'm only now kind of putting my finger on it mentally. What I think it is, what I think we're seeing when you look at the standings in the SEC is that Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, who's the other good one? LSU.
Arkansas had a bad start, but if they thought they were going to be good.
Tennessee has lost a couple, right? If you look at that, look at Alabama, right? If you look at those other teams that are supposed to be as good or better than us this year, right? There's at least four or five other teams that were supposed to be as good or better than us, right? We were picked fifth, I believe, okay? If you look at them, they've been beating each other. And I think what you have to bear in mind is they're going to continue beating each other.
That's right.
Tennessee lost to Alabama. Alabama lost to Missouri.
Tennessee's 1-2.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Florida. What's Florida?
0-2 in the
conference. Exactly. You see what I mean? This is what I'm saying. We don't have to have a perfect SEC record to win the conference. We just have to keep winning at the clip we've been. We can drop, you know, a game here and a game there, but those other guys are already putting each other in the hole. They're already putting each other in the hole.
They're going to cannibalize each other and turn each other.
Yes.
And the parity is going to be such that even if we lose a couple games on the road,
other teams
might lose five games on the road.
Yes.
It's not going to matter.
Yes. I think 100%.
And most of those teams have to come to Jordan Hare, which is going to be one of those losses.
Well, Auburn Arena, but yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, down the street. Down the street a little bit.
Court advantage.
Take a left.
The big Barkley statue.
That's the big Barkley statue. That's it. Yeah. No. Exactly. I feel increasingly good. And I mean, things could happen. Somebody could get, God forbid, injured or something or whatever. But right now, if they keep playing the way they're playing right now, I don't know what I don't think anything is out of the question. I'll just leave it at that. So. Crazy KD Johnson. We got to talk about just for a second the Auburn basketball Twitter. It's become a force in its own right, John. What do you think about it?
I mean, it's fun. The Twitter during the game is fun. It's very fast. But also, like you're talking about the dunking on the other teams.
Again,
if you missed this, like. The other team posts a final score tweet, and then the Auburn fans go and immediately post memes about how you just lost to whoever, you know, Bruce Pearl and his bad boy mowers or whatever. So, and the Florida game was a good example where, like, 1 minute after Florida posted it, it had hundreds of replies.
It took 4 minutes to get to 950. And at 6 minutes, it was at 1,100 replies. I've contributed, too. I contributed, this L was brought to you all the way from Wendell, Greenland. And I have Wendell behind a faded Greenland map. And I contributed a picture of the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And it said, and Bruce is looking over the sign. And it says, it was our pleasure to give you this L or something like that.
Nice.
Those are my two, yeah. What's cool is when you see other people tweeting yours out. That's it when you cool, know. So. Yeah. And then somebody made me into a meme, which is
funny.
The highest honor I could ever get in this lifetime. Right. All right.
Surprised you just retire after that.
Well, there has been talk of us being replaced as hosts of this show. We're going to get to that in a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What else we need to talk about basketball? We got Bama tomorrow night. Well, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's just hours away, perhaps minutes, folks.
It is. It's 9 Eastern, 8 Central on ESPN, the main basketball game Tuesday night. Very exciting. They're really good. They're well coached. They're deep. They're talented. Jaden Shackelford's probably their best player. Really good outside shooter, almost 40% from 3-point range. Keon Ellis on the inside is really big for them. You know, I think Keon Ellis has like 12.6 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.7 steals. That's pretty good. They play good defense. They space the ball well. They got a lot of guys that could shoot the three well. You know, they got a bunch of guys over, 35% from 3-point range. So it's going to be a challenge to play them. I think the big thing is, they're going to score and at home, they're going to have, more scoring bursts and more runs than we're used to against this Auburn defense. And we're just going to have to weather the storms at times and then keep coming back, and rely on our depth to, like you said, to keep it, make it a game in the second half. So then we can kind of,
wear them down,
wear them down and pull away. That's kind of the way I look at it.
My understanding of them is that they are streaky scoring, three-pointing shooting, and if they get hot, they can beat anybody, and if they're not, they can lose to anybody just about.
That's right.
So we got to do our part to make them unhot.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a reasonable way to look at it, but where does that come from? Good defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Auburn can do that. I think Auburn can play the kind of defense that could cause problems for them, and we'll see.
Well, I think the Florida game taught us a couple of lessons about foul trouble and how to manage that because Kessler ended up fouling out, in fact. He had his fourth foul with like 10 minutes to go in the second half, and then he came back in and made it to like the 3 or 4 minute mark and then fouled out completely. And Jabari had 3 or 4, and I believe didn't Zepp have – maybe 3 or 4, so Wendell's having to play more than normal because they kind of swap in and out constantly. Why? Tell me this. Why, as great as Wendell Green is, why is Zepp starting over him? Is it defense? Is it his passing?
It's defense. And again, I think Wendell has gotten much better at defense. He's really quick, and he makes steals the ball, takes away the opponent. But I think one of the things about this team is they set the tone on defense from the first tip of the ball. Mm-hmm. And when you have Zepp Jasper and KD out there, they're going to be all over the other team's guards from the first minute and give them no rest, mm-hmm. no respite, and be in their face. He's bigger than Wendell Green, so I think it's harder for the other team to shoot over Zepp. And so I think that's why he's out there. But you'll notice Wendell finishes a lot of games.
Yes.
As the point guard. So I think it's a kind of a different thing. They start Zepp because of the defense thing, and then they finish with Wendell because
when they need some points.
He's a good closer too. He's great, under pressure, making stuff happen and
high energy.
Yeah.
Tell me this. Who's the shooting guard on this team?
KD Johnson.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who's the starting shooting guard?
KD Jones.
Does he start? He doesn't seem like a shooting guard to me. I feel like this team has 5 point guards and 5 forwards and a center. I don't feel like they have a shooting guard. They don't have a Bryce Brown, but few do.
No, they don't have that kind of guy. But in the in the Bruce Pearl offense, they're really just like there's a point guard and there's a lot of wings. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, everybody just kind of goes everywhere and sets picks for each other and tries to create.
And so, like, if you're not the point guard, you're just a guy out on the perimeter, taking shots and setting screens and driving to the basket. And it doesn't matter whether you're KD Johnson or Leor Berman or Cambridge, or even sometimes it's
Jabari.
You know, Flanagan's up there, right?
Flanagan like, now, honestly, Jabari's like a tall shooting guard sometimes.
Yes, 100%. Yes, he is. And so, again, those guys are on the perimeter, and they get the ball. They're shooting the three. They're driving to the basket. They're setting screens and making stuff happen for each other. And so, and then you just have Kessler in the middle and the point guard kind of setting the offense up at the top of the key a lot of times, right?
I just figured out who Jabari Smith reminds me of in terms of how he fits into the team.
Okay.
Wesley Person. Taller, fair, skinnier guy that can shoot threes.
I mean, he's much bigger than Wesley Person.
Yeah. But they're both kind of like lanky and could shoot three-pointers, even though they look more like forwards.
Yeah. I mean, he's 5 inches
smooth.
Taller than Wesley Person.
Is he? I didn't realize Wesley Person was that quote-unquote short. That's interesting. It's all relative.
I mean, I was trying to think about a comparison for Jabari Smith, and I think one of the guys that I thought about, honestly, is Danny Manning, who played at Kansas.
Yeah. Okay.
Who was about the same size. It's a smoothness of his game that made me think of this analogy. And again, when we think of, you know, older people like us, remember Danny Manning took a team of basically a bunch of scrubs and won the national title with them.
They did over a very good Oklahoma team.
Yeah. Over an Oklahoma team, they had like 5 NBA players on it. It was him and a bunch of, you know, nobodies, and they won the national title. And so again, that's Jabari, like Danny Manning was a senior at that point.
Yeah.
So that's Jabari like 3 years from now at that level. He could be that kind of player. But I see that in him. I see him, you know, becoming that kind of player. Just his vision, the smoothness of his game, his ability to, you know, to calmly just, okay, we need a basket. I got it. Boom. Here we go.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody could stop him in that tournament, I remember.
No.
So any other thoughts about the basketball before we get on to the football?
I want to say again, I want to emphasize this, like, we're going to lose a game at some point. It's okay. It's not the end of civilization. And I'm going to, like, at some point, it's not the end of the world if we lose a game. You know, bring us back down to earth a little bit. I'm just going to be honest. Like,
I agree. Well, it's going to happen. We don't need to worry about it because it's going to take care of itself. But it won't be the end of the world when it happens. Yeah.
But that's the point I'm trying to make is, when it happens, and I'm not saying we're going to lose to Alabama because I really think we can go in there and beat them, but maybe we lose to Ole Miss on the road after that, right? So it's going to happen at some point in one of these road games, and it is not the end of civilization. It doesn't mean this team is not great. And the other thing I want to say about basketball is we had the question last week about what's the ceiling of this team. And the ceiling of this team is national title.
It is.
Okay? We both just said this, like, this team is not playing as well as it can play.
That's right.
Flanagan is not all the way back. They're not all the way meshed with him. I think in February, this team is going to be like a level higher than they are now, like a big level higher.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
So.
Yeah. Before we get into the football, there is a related thing that we got to mention here real quick.
This is the Gene Chizik on the SEC Network report.
Not anymore.
This has been the Gene Chizik on the SEC Network report.
So, John, I got to delete those two files now. Chiz is no longer.
Do you?
What? I got to change him to the Gene Chizik defensive. He's not defensive coordinator. Assistant head coach and defensive specialist
he's
or something?
He's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they're calling it something else, though.
They're making him an assistant head coach or whatever. So
Mac
Jr. He's defensive coordinator.
Mac Brown Jr.
He was just at North Carolina, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And he just ripped the players for the – and name, image, and likeness stuff. So I'm not sure how that's going to go.
Yeah, we'll see. We all love Chiz. We love 2010. We don't love 2012, but that's all right. Now, he's a good defensive coordinator. Somebody said he's just getting ready to come back to be Auburn's defensive coordinator when Mason leaves. And I'm just like, that would be like.
Slow your roll on that business.
That would be full circle, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, by the way, it looks like we've got the Alabama LSU national champ. The regular season. Remember that? What was the year? LSU and Alabama had a field goal fest for the whole
9-6.
Yeah, well, there we are. I'm telling you what, Alabama and LSU going 9-6 was a big reason why we got the college football playoff. And Alabama is out there with another SEC team getting ready to give us a 12-team playoff, John.
Well, you know what? The conference commissioners met today and couldn't, you know, move the playoff thing forward. Maybe this is the SEC telling them, if you don't move it forward, you got to get this every year, this 9-6 thing.
And there you go.
They'll be running to the table tomorrow.
I mean, in a couple of years, it'll probably be Texas A&M in Alabama or A&M in Georgia or you know, LSU or Auburn. I mean, we can just keep this thing going as long as they like. That's fine.
There you go.
Good gosh. This is what you get. All right. We got Zach Calzada. Now, the overwhelmingly humongous response from the Auburn faithful to getting Zach Calzada could be summed up as...
Please clap.
That was pretty much... But I think he's not a bad... Yeah, you're thinking about clapping. I mean, he's probably better than anybody currently, like, not potential, but at this moment, he's probably the best quarterback on the roster. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
So, if you listen to our A&M preview and game commentary, you probably have some sense how I feel about him.
Yeah.
I was not deliriously excited at the move, but at the same time, I'm kind of talking myself into it. And the first thing I would say is that, again, he's a young guy who wasn't supposed to be the starting quarterback for Texas A&M. Another guy, Haynes King, was named the starter. He got hurt at Colorado, and then Calzada had to start with no reps, basically. And in, you know, Jimbo Fisher is a noted historical, like, micromanager of quarterbacks. He is not a pleasant person to work for if you're the quarterback. And so I think, you know, Calzada had a great home game against Alabama, and they beat him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not a lot of players can say that. He had a better game than Stetson Bennett in either one of these games. I'm just throwing that out there. So, you know, the other thing that I would say from our experience of watching him in person is that he showed me incredible toughness in that game.
Yeah.
He took a gigantic hit, and he came back in that game when it looked like, you know, A&M was going to have to play a walk-on and give Auburn a real chance to get back in the game and win the game. He came back in the game, and it really was the turning point. His toughness, you know, kind of sealed the door for Auburn.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing that he's on our team now, because I think, you know, having a quarterback who will stand in the pocket and take the hits and make plays is valuable. He's played in the SEC West. Again, he was a young quarterback who wasn't supposed to be the starter, who basically put up the same numbers that Bo Nix did as a true freshman, right?
That's right.
And he's a true sophomore.
So hey, he beat Alabama. Give him that.
That's right. So, I mean, how many other players beat Alabama this year? Mm-hmm. How many other quarterbacks? So he did it. He can make stuff happen when things are going well and things are right for him. So I think, you know, we've seen what we've got with Finley, and I think none of us are ecstatic about Finley potentially being the starting quarterback. I just think he's solid, but there's nothing special there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a difference maker, and we need something different. Now, having said that, Auburn may not be done on the quarterback thing.
Right.
And the other thing that you said in terms of the finished product, it matters, because I do think they recruited Holden Garner to be the quarterback of the future. He's the guy that Harsin and then picked all along to be the guy. And so they want him to start. I mean, eventually. That's the plan. That's why they recruited him. Mm-hmm. And so I think what this means is, you know, we can see a thing where Calzada is the starter for year two, and then it's Garner's team. I think that's the plan.
Calzada's got three more years.
Yeah.
And then what about Caleb Williams? It seemed like a fantasy a couple of days ago, but the people on Twitter that claim to know everything are like, oh, look out, it's going to Auburn. I mean, where did that come from?
I slow your roll on that. It's still more in the fantasy thing to me. Again, Caleb Williams is the Oklahoma transfer freshman. It's so great that he could go any – he could basically, other than Alabama or Ohio State, he could go to any school in the country and be the starting quarterback.
Well, Alabama, true. But, you're right.
He's not beating that Stroud guy. So – You know, I think he's probably going to end up going to Southern Cal with the coach that just left Oklahoma. But by doing this, he's able to kind of test the waters and see who's interested in him and where he wants to go. And so I think, you know, Auburn has some connections. Apparently he knows whatever Russell Wilson and Austin Davis is talking to Russell Wilson. And so, you know, that's the connection with, that's helping Auburn or whatever. And, you know, I think the idea of him, he's considered, you know, going to an SEC school. So I think that's on the table, but I'm going to be honest, like, I'm going to say 5 to 10%. So
it would,
do not get your hopes all wrapped up around Caleb Williams.
Oh, no.
But, it's 100% worth taking the shot to get somebody who would be a home run quarterback if we got
him. Well, and you'd have to think that it would really boost our efforts to pull in some other transfers that want to play
with. Yes, no. Again, one of Oklahoma's star receivers is already in the transfer portal. He says, I'm going wherever Caleb Williams goes.
There you
go. When he picks a school, I'm following. So there will be other players, receivers, offensive linemen, whatever, who do the same thing. So
see, we could be Oklahoma South or East or Southeast or something. Wow, man. Well, we got Anders Carlson, bookstore's coming back. When I saw they were saying his sixth year, I'm like, there's no way he's been at Auburn for this would be his sixth year. And I looked it up.
He redshirted.
Yeah.
Right. And then he played, and then he gets the extra year for COVID or whatever.
But I mean, did he play his second year? Because that would mean he's already been our kicker for four seasons. It does not feel like he's been our kicker for four seasons.
I'm looking
at hold,
please.
Okay. Because that would mean 18 was his first season. And I guess
he kicked at 18. He kicked in 19.
Wow.
He kicked in 20. He kicked 20. This year.
Wow. Just imagine if his brother had 6 years, what his point total would be. All right. I guess it's been a long time.
And we signed the number one kicker in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
So, you know, the theory is that guy's going to redshirt the freshman kicker, and then Carlson will come in and be the guy. But, you know,
I hope he redshirts. Or, I mean, I don't want him to enter the portal or anything just because Anders is coming back. My God,
he's a kicker, man. Come on.
Hey, I've seen the Dr. Pepper commercial. I know the kicker.
But also, he knows, like, this is a great place to be as a kicker. Again, the elder Carlson won an NFL game again Sunday night. And he's, you know,
he's
got
been
a big
killing
contract
it.
With the Raiders.
He's
now,
been
so.
Killing. Boy, doesn't Minnesota feel? Or was it Minnesota or Miami? That
Minnesota.
He
it was
Don't
Minnesota that drafted
stupid.
Him and cut him.
Don't
and
they feel?
They deserve
stupid.
All the crap that everybody gives them. For
good,
being
good idiot. He missed like one kick in preseason. They're like, oh, can't have this guy. The Raiders are like, sure, no problem. So we lost our defensive line coach, and I mean, I guess it's one of those mama called situations.
Mama and the checkbook called.
Yeah.
So, again, Clemson lost a lot of their assistant coaches this year. The defensive coordinator, you know, Venables is now the Oklahoma head coach. He took the Clemson defensive line coach and made him the Oklahoma defensive coordinator, Todd Bates. And so the defensive line position was open, and Clemson had a lot of money in the assistant pool to spend, where they had been spending a lot of money on Venables, the offensive coordinator. And so they, you know, I think Nick Eason is getting big money to go to Clemson, like $2 million kind of a year money. Mm-hmm. So that's big. I mean, I think he did a really good job for Auburn. You can't blame him for going to Clemson for that kind of shot and that kind of money. So, you know, hopefully he'll, we'll get somebody equally good. I think their rumor is they're leaning towards another NFL kind of guy because they that selling the NFL experience thing.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens. You know, the guys out there is named Brinson Buckner. That's the recurrent rumor. He's a former Clemson player, defensive lineman who is a line coach for the Arizona Cardinals. So that's the current rumor. They made the playoffs, so I don't think it's going to happen right away, but it could happen in a week if they're out. So,
We'll see. I felt like we had a good defensive staff this year, and I hope that they can continue that. Keep that ball rolling there because I really liked the staff and I thought they worked well together. So let's see. You have another point here that I'm going to understand.
So the other point here is this. I think it's easy in college football to have all these people making individual decisions or individual actions. And then what we do and what other people do is try to discern meaning from that. What is all of these five things together mean for Auburn in terms of up or down, right? When in reality, like, there may not be a pattern there. Each of them was an individual person making an individual decision and what was best in their individual self-interest in that moment, right? And I think there's a real danger sometimes, especially in the off season, of trying to patch together the data points to say this plus this plus this plus this equals the, you know, good or bad.
Okay.
Right? And I think we do that a lot, and I think it's important, but I also think sometimes it's not, sometimes it doesn't, there isn't meaning. Does that make sense? Is it too deep?
Give me a specific kind of example.
Okay. Well, let's, I'm just going to throw some five or six things at you.
Okay.
Kobe Hudson gone. Zach Calzada transferring in. Nick Eason leaving. Carlson coming back. Defensive lineman returning. You know, Colby Wooden, those guys coming back. And Oregon transfer defensive line, Jason Jones coming in. Was there meaning there? I mean, do you put those on the board to go overall net positive? Auburn good.
You know, what I mean, do you look at all that and go, oh, Harsin sucks or Harsin can't keep the teams together, or teams or something like that?
Okay, that's where I'm going. Right, if you have that narrative in your head already, then you arrange the pieces to fit the outcome that you're trying to describe.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But in reality, like, each of those people was doing what was best for them in that moment. And it may not have anything to do with the larger thing around Harsin and Auburn.
Right. Yeah, I think there's no doubt, or no doubt, that we get our preconceived notions, and then we try to make the evidence fit the notion, which is the exact opposite of how things are supposed to work. So I think that's a very valid observation.
But the other point I'm making is that we have to be careful because not everything is really evidence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Nick Eason leaving when they, I haven't looked, but I'm guessing his salary got close to doubled or whatever, is like, well, hey, best of luck, man. Thanks for your help. And he said nice things about Auburn.
Did. And I think that, I think that even if we'd paid him the same, I think that he was, mama called. He's going home. Yeah, he likes Dabo. He likes Clemson. He played there. He coached there. You know, he wants to be. I mean, I could see, you know, he sees himself as like the next defensive coordinator there or a head coach or something. Yeah. Auburn was a good stepping stone for him, but that's just how it goes. That's cool. That's fine. I mean, you know, we've had players that have come back to Auburn that were in that situation, you know. So Rodney Garner is an example, you know.
Yeah, you get.
So, yeah, no, that's valid. All right. Let's see. So we're advertising that we have something coming up. We've kind of been previewing.
We've kind of been teasing this, and I was going to do it this week, but we had all this other stuff to talk about. So I didn't want to do it. The show is going to be 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do, again, is kind of the reasons for optimism and reasons for concern thing. And I think I've got some good stuff. But also the other thing, the other one that I've kind of been working on, we're going to do in the offseason, is kind of the myths and misperceptions about the 2021 Auburn football team. I'm going to throw some stats at you. And you're going to kind of say, like, do you think this team was better or worse than the past couple Auburn teams at this thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or were they really good at this or really bad at this? And then we're going to look at some data and talk about it.
Gotcha. Sounds good. Well, in the meantime, we have to thank our patrons. But before we do that, John, before we thank the patrons, we have to announce that the patrons participated in our AU Wishbone Bowl Pick'em Contest. We had over 40 of our patrons to sign up and play on the ESPN website. And all you had to do is just go through and pick, you know, who was going to win each bowl game. I ended up, I think, like one game below 500. I said all along I would have done better if after I finished picking, I went back through and just switched every pick. I would have done better if I'd gone completely the opposite of what I actually believed.
the George Costanza move.
Yeah, and you did better than me, but not great, and that's fine. But we had one participant. I was going to say one person, but no, not a person. We had one participant who did so well that it doesn't matter who wins this game we're watching right now between Alabama and Georgia. They're going to win anyway. They had a padded lead. The winner of the 2022-2021 season, AU Wishbone Bowl Pick'em Contest, is on your screen now, Boris the Tiger. Boris the Tiger.
Congrats, Boris. Salute. Respect.
Remember, this is TV's Boris the Tiger because he's been on ESPN, and he is all accoutred. He's got his Auburn jersey on. He's got his little headset that he likes to pretend he's calling plays during the game. And my favorite new addition he's gotten to his wardrobe this season is he saw that Aubie had a baseball hat with Aubie's picture on it, which I thought was the greatest thing ever. Aubie wearing a hat with Aubie's picture on it. So Boris has a hat with Boris's picture on it. And if you want to follow Boris for all of his wacky tiger antics, on Twitter he's at Boris AU Tiger, one long word, at Boris AU Tiger, Boris the Tiger. And congratulations, Boris. I have to say, he did have some help picking his picks from my wife. And so as much as she likes to deflect all the praise to Boris, I think we have to admit that the person who actually tapped the taps on the phone or the app, right, was Amy. So all credit to Boris and Amy together, quite a team.
Crushed us.
They absolutely did.
I don't know if your score plus my score would have beaten.
Yeah, he ended up in like the 970th percentile or something just insane. So he's very excited. All right. You know that, by the way, he tweeted this a while back. Boris actually has a little dog bed that is shaped like Jordan-Hare Stadium and has a field on the bottom and everything. You know, we said last week we were all losing to a stuffed animal. We're losing a stuffed animal that lives in Jordan-Hare Stadium, his own little Jordan-Hare Stadium. So there you go. Thank you, Boris. I'll let you go off into the distance now.
I look forward to the in-depth interview with Boris.
I'm allergic to actual animals, so that's our non-live animal. All right, let's see. We got to thank the patrons real quick. I'm sure they appreciated that little side note. Remember, if you don't like hearing ads on this show, you came to the right place because our patrons are responsible for us not having ads. I get emails all the time offering to do ads on this show. I want nothing to do with it. And you patrons are the reason why we have so much more fun with you folks than we would with playing some dumb ads all the way through the show. So let me thank the folks who keep our show going. And by the way, if you want to join their ranks and you can put in your name, whatever you want me to call you, including like some people have their ads in their name, which is fine. Then go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. Our number of patrons has gone down a little bit for two reasons. One, the season ended. It always kind of dips a little bit, so we need new folks to come in and kind of pick us back up. But also, I split away two other Patreons just to kind of get the football folks and the Babylon 5 folks and the Avengers folks in three separate groups so they're not having to like compete with each other for time and space. So here are the folks we have to thank, and you can join their ranks, www.auwishbone.com. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Brandon Sisson, Carl Von Drucker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, and then Bradley Blackman, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Canjian, AU Falling Up. Auburn basketball is number 4, says Rusty. Yeah, you dang tootin' it is today. Woo, it's rarefied air, John. Ben Bloodworth, Brian's Not Harsin' Around, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Owlgorithm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Sarah Browns, Steve Harlan, Tank the Hunter, Theodore Gary, Valiant Hermes, War Eagle Anyway, Hey, Birmingham Bowl runners-up, man. WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, TV's Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato A. Barner. He's not the Barner anymore. Check out the nonprofit drybutts.com hashtag diapers save lives. Okay. Chris the Hilton, Colby the Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Diabama, Eric Mahan, Diabama, well, it's 9-6 at halftime. Heather and Yancey Steingraber, Helping Van upgrade his insulation. Any day now would be nice because it's cold down here, but that's more for sound. Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, listen to hellbentatl.com, and
smoke weed every day.
There we go. Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling. Saban is shorter than Shivers. That's not easy to say. Saban needs a new toupee. Oh, I got a couple of double whammy on Saban. Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston. This is the year Jinxo Jordan has improved so much in this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, Alex Nguyen, Alex Quirard says War Eagle Brian Pittman is my best friend. Woo! Alum of a basketball school. I just butchered that. Sorry. Alum of a basketball school. Auburn Elvis. And finally, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, Sebron, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, David Smiley, Elizabeth Donald, goal to be Boris the Tiger when I grow up.
And we can all dream.
We can all dream of such a thing.
And we got to get better at celebrating.
There you go. I got two that I can use the soundboard for now. I'm more interested in the Bachelor tonight than any other sporting event. Okay. I'll buy this for $1. I need to get that audio clip. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker Jingleheimer Schmidt. Fit that on the back of his jersey. John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Reigns, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, Michael Halbrook, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky Big Boutet, John and Vanner Monkey Boys, Stephen Thompson, this is the year that Jabari Smith has improved so much in Bruce Pearl's offense that Bruce will quietly sit in his chair. No, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, and Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. That's a good number of patrons, but it could be better. Again, we've lost a few to attrition and to the new shows. So go to www.auwishbone.com. We have, John. It's back. We have Guess the Game. We have a Guess the Game.
From Jared? Who can it
be now? Hello and Happy New Year to Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game, episode 38. Episode 38 is brought to you by listener Willie V3. Before we get to the audio file, though, I believe I was tasked with coming up with a superhero identity for Brian Harsin in his first year and what we hope his identity becomes in his second year as head coach of our beloved Auburn Tigers. Having given it some thought, I'm going to make my own brand new superheroes for this answer. I'm going to say that in his first year, his superhero name is going to be Wheels Fall Off Lad. Which, that might be a real hero, because there's a ton of those kind of people in the Legion of Superheroes, yeah. But I'm getting into nerd levels that you don't need. Wheels Fall Off Lad is what I'm going to give him as his superhero name for his first year. But, we're really hoping that that can be fixed, and I'm looking forward to next year, and I have a lot of confidence in Coach Harsin. So I'm hoping Wheels Fall Off Lad becomes Captain Lugnuts, and we are able to keep those wheels on and have a much better season next year. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very optimistic. So, now that I've answered that mail, let's get back to Willie V3's Guess the Game play for this episode.
Lined up to the left of trouble, has to step away, laterals it over to dances away now. Can he get a block? Got the first down plus 35, 30, 20, 15, hurdles, dives, end zone.
Okay, that one's probably pretty tough. I will see you guys in the hint file.
Wow. All right, the only thing I have from that one, it's a long touchdown, and it was
Brent Musburger.
Yeah, but there was a lot of bleeps. There's a lot of information missing.
Okay, let's back up. Notable games that Brent Musburger called.
The national championship, 94
was
Florida.
Was there a play like that in the national championship?
No.
Okay. The other one you said was?
94 Florida. They never quit. The cardiac kids.
Was there a play like that in that game?
It's been a while. There was a lot of scoring in that game, and it's been a while since I watched it. There was the pass, Nix to Sanders, everybody remembers. That wasn't that. There was four other touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah. The defense scored some. So I don't know. Yeah, we're going to need the hint file.
I think we're going to go straight to the hint file. I have no clue. All right, here we go.
All right, gentlemen, here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give it a listen.
Lined up to the left of White.
White.
White in trouble, has to step away, laterals it over to Johnson. Johnson dances away now. Can he get a block? Got the first down plus 35, 30, 20, 15. Hurdles, dives, end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, quite the stellar play. Very, very fun to watch that play develop. I will see you in the answer file.
Johnson?
Rudy Johnson?
Oh.
Did they play together?
No. All right. Yeah, no. No. I was thinking about Bostic. I always get Rudy Johnson, James Bostic kind of mixed up. Stan White was 93 was his last year. Rudy Johnson was 2000, 7 years later.
Sean White.
Was there a Johnson on the Sean White team?
Carry on Johnson, Sean White?
Oh, so could that be from, well, it couldn't be from an Iron Bowl because Sean White didn't beat Alabama.
Does it have to be from a win?
Yeah, it has to be from a win. I'm 100% sure. I think Jared said that. So, all right, so if it was Sean White and Kerryon Johnson, that would be 16?
Yes.
And the game where they really 15. Ran roughshod was Arkansas? 50.
Maybe Arkansas. Let's go Arkansas in 16.
I like it. We're going all in Arkansas in 16.
Fan John, if you guess it, this is Auburn playing Arkansas State in 2016.
Oh, State.
Then you
State.
Got it. Thanks again to Willie D3 for sending that in. If you want to send a guess the game play suggestion, all you got to do is send it to me at Yard Sale Artist. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all at Yard Sale Artist. Or if you don't have the social medias, you can email it to jared@theyardsaleartist.com. That's J-A-R-R-O-D. Man, John, back to you guys, and War Eagle.
Here's the plan, John. I'm going to go in post-production, and every time we say Arkansas, it's going to be State. John's like, yeah, I think it's Arkansas. I'll be like, State, 2016.
credit to Jared and our listener who entered that. It was a tough one, right? They're not all going to be easy. We're really good at this, and so they're digging deep now, and we're going to have to up our game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I should be expected to remember a play from the Arkansas State game in 2016, but. I'm sorry.
We were close. Written a book about this.
I haven't written a book about, nor have you written a book about that season yet. It's out there. It's like an iceberg on our horizon. We know it's coming sooner or later. Going to dominate months of our lives, but it's not there yet. But dead ahead. We believe too. Dead ahead. Bloop, 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 bloop. No, that was really good, but what kills me, we had the right year.
Yeah.
And we had the right state.
We got close.
We got awfully close. Yeah. I think that's about as close as you can get without getting it. So, all right, good deal. Good job by Jared. And again, I always want to thank Jared. He doesn't have to do this, but he's out of the goodness of his heart, he puts these together and makes really a cool, cool segment.
Well, and it was exciting to have it back after missing it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we did miss him. Although I got to say, his substitute that first week, that was pretty funny.
It was Johnny Depp.
Johnny, the complete opposite of Jared's approach, and I hope Jared's heard it because it. Well, I guess he did because he sent it in, but that was also excellent, and it's a completely different way. Good change up. It was a good change up, but now we're back to Jared, and that's good. All right, meanwhile.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. I've goofed us off long enough. Let's get this show on the road and wrap things up. What do we got in our listener question file?
First question from Stephen Houston.
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take Van to learn to pronounce calzada?
I'm working. Man, you butcher one offensive player's name and you're labeled for life. I didn't even try to butcher the other one. I just called him three. Remember three name, our receiver? Yeah.
Philippe Pierre-Louis or who?
No. The one that went to North Carolina and he's probably like in his ninth year in college right now. You know, he caught the touchdown against Alabama in 17. I can't even remember three name. That's what I'll, anyway, I'll come up with something for Calzone. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Our next question's from Scott Crankton, and the subject line concerned me because the subject line is financial advice. He says, gentlemen, Auburn basketball has arguably the best freshman and the best shot blocker in the nation. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's arguable. Also, they have perhaps the deepest team in the nation. Mm-hmm. They are 14-1 and on an 11-game winning streak. They are currently ranked fourth in the AP poll. National college basketball writers and sportscasters are starting to notice the Tigers give them some love. With that said, doesn't Auburn logic dictate that if I liquidate all my assets and bet on Alabama to beat Auburn tomorrow night? Regards, well, Scott Crankton.
I'm glad we got one more shot at this because I did want to hit this button right here.
And March Madness, let's shock the world.
I'm going to be hitting that button, I hope, a lot in the weeks to come, John, because that's a fun button to hit.
It is fun, but it's only January Madness right now. So.
Yeah, it is. It is. But he makes a good point, though. He makes a valid point.
He does. All right. Next question comes from a friend of the podcast, Auburn Elvis.
Yes.
Who says, John Evan, who do you think will win between Auburn and Alabama in men's basketball on Tuesday? And none of this vague Auburn should win, but I'm worried BS that could later be spun either way, depending on the outcome of the game. Who do you think will win the game?
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
No, this is important. That's it. Auburn beats Alabama by 12 points. I'm going with Frank Sinatra. You can't go against the chairman of the board, John. The chairman of the board says Auburn wins by 12.
I think Auburn wins by one shot at the buzzer.
Woo!
Auburn Elvis want us to be clear. We're clear. All right, next question.
Hey, guess what's back on HBO?
What? Just two little country kids outside
misbehaving. There it is. It's back.
All right.
We just finished Succession last night, so we're getting ready to tune into the Gemstones. It's such a good show.
It is a great show. It's funny. Next question from Valiant Hermes.
Yes.
He says, hey, guys, hope all is well. Coach Harsin going after multiple quarterbacks in the transfer portal feels like a signal that he doesn't have confidence that Auburn can win and compete for a championship with the current roster minus Calzada or pre-Calzada. Do you believe that is the case? Also, if Auburn lands Caleb Williams and a couple of good O-line transfers, does that automatically make Auburn a 10-11 win team next season with a shot to win the SEC and make the playoff? Thanks for the great content and War Eagle.
All right.
So it's two parts. The first part, is it a signal that he doesn't have confidence that Auburn can win?
Well, I know I don't have confidence that Auburn can win with what we had.
No, 100% yes. Again, I think they have confidence in Gurner long term.
Right.
I do not think they have confidence in that Gurner could come in next year. Do I think they have confidence like 2 or 3 years from now, Gurner could be the guy. And they feel like he's the kind of guy that can come in and become a player they can win the SEC with, but that's not him now. So
no.
I the answer is 100% yes. I mean, 100% yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the second part was,
if we land Caleb Williams and a couple of good O-line transfers, does that automatically make Auburn a 10-11 win
team? Need to land a receiver. We need to land a receiver.
Yes. But, yes, I think it does, because I think the defense is going to be good again. And Caleb Williams is an absolute difference maker.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think if you look at 2009 without Cam, I'm not saying he's Cam Newton, but I'm just saying that's how much difference one player can make. If you look at 2016 versus 17 with
Stidham.
With Stidham, yeah. The right quarterback makes a huge difference. A huge difference.
And he, in the minimum, but the four for him is Stidham.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Bill Miners, the last question of the night, he says, guys, since I don't care about tonight's football game, it's fun to think about other scenarios. Which team of ours in the past do you think would have fared the best and won the championship if the current playoff system were in place? I'd say 2004 because they were clicking and had been through a grind, unlike the other two teams that played for it.
Yeah. Yeah, 04 is obviously the one that's going to come to mind. But is there another one that you're like, you know, I mean, like 17? Oh, you know, 2005. By the end of the season, 2005, which was a pretty different team from 2004. 2005 was the Cox and Irons team. There was no Cadillac and Ronnie and Jason and all that. It was a different team. And yet
2002 at the end of the year, too, was really good, right?
They were, yeah.
But I agree. I like 2005. That's a good answer. Again, it's a question to me is, think about it this way. If there was a larger playoff, like a 12-team playoff, which Auburn team that could have gotten in do you think really could have done some damage and won the whole thing? And I like 2004 is an obvious answer. In a four-team playoff, they could win the thing.
Yeah.
But I like 2005. I like 2007. You know, get us into a larger playoff and get Kerryon healthy.
17?
Like 17. And then 2002, I think, was, you know, that was a pretty explosive offensive team, too.
Yeah, the 02 team had a good defense. And what happened was after Cadillac got hurt in the Florida game, that's when Ronnie Brown came of age and just took over and was so good all the way through the Penn State bowl game.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that was a good question, and then that's it for Mr. Questions. Thank you, Bill.
Now we're going to take a trip. That's just be a very short trip.
Let's take a trip around the SEC. Without
wings, without wings. So we talked about Auburn losing our defensive line coach. What else is that? You have an own about Ole Miss?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of smoke out there about Lane Kiffin.
Yeah,
you know, looking around, I think there was rumors that he wanted to go to Miami before they hired that guy.
Yeah,
hired the Oregon coach. He's lost both coordinators and hasn't replaced them. You know, A&M just stole his defensive coordinator after A&M's defensive coordinator that I really liked, Elko, went and became the head coach at Duke. So it's something to keep an eye on.
I guess you want to be a head coach, but Duke.
I agree. It's I guess they'll be patient with you. But it's also the kind of thing, if you're Duke, if you bring that guy in and he's great, he's going to leave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody comes in and they're really good, they're going to go. They are not going to stay.
Wow. Something big just happened, so keep your eye on the TV for a second. I think the Venables approach might be a little bit better, where you just hang around until, you know, well, I don't know if they were doing as well, but at Ole Miss, but, you know, you wait till the step is the step you want. You know, Venables probably could have been Auburn's coach this last year if he'd wanted to be, and he didn't want to be. He's waiting for freaking Oklahoma. So Georgia just intercepted Young, which is – it's like I kind of guess of the two, I'd rather Alabama win for strategic reasons, but during the game there's no way I can cheer for Alabama in anything. So I'm cheering for Georgia, but I hope Alabama wins. You know what I mean? I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but in my mind it does. So,
it makes sense. I
just can't actively root for Alabama in anything. But when it's all said and done, it'd be better for us if Alabama won, I think. So hopefully that makes sense. Okay.
It does. The one thing I want to say in around the SEC is just some transfer portal activity. You know, Alabama's got a couple players. They got a good running back from Georgia Tech. They got that Eli Ricks cornerback from LSU. You know, Ole Miss got a big running, you know, that got our player with Darius Tennyson off our defense, but then they got a big running back, Zach Evans from TCU, who was a four-star running back out of high school that a lot of people wanted. So we'll see what he can do there. The other thing that's interesting out there is that the Ole Miss backup quarterback, John Rhys Plumlee, the guy who also plays baseball and is a really good runner at quarterback, mm-hmm. transferred to Central Florida.
I was wondering if he was just going to sit there at Ole Miss and do nothing behind this quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think he was liked there because he played baseball, too, and they're an SEC baseball team, so it's putting him in a good place with that. But he's, you know, he's going to Central Florida, so, you know, running or athletic quarterback with Gus has some potential.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was great against us a couple of years ago before they switched to the whole passing, you know, Lane Kiffin thing. So, sure, I'm surprised he didn't transfer sooner, honestly. So,
I am, too.
Did you mention the Georgia Tech thing?
Yeah, no, I did.
No, that was
it. I'm going to keep my eye on the transfer portal when guys are coming to SEC schools or big things happen in that, or we're going to try to regroup that. So
that's good. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap things up before the national championship game is over. But man, it's really an exciting offensive explosion here, 9-6 deep in the third quarter. So woohoo! Any final thoughts?
I hate Georgia and Alabama, and our basketball team is really enjoyable to watch.
My Kentucky buddy asked me today which one of them I was cheering for, and I said, "You mean the bubonic or the pneumonic plague?" It's kind of like which would you rather die of? You know, would you rather your joints swell up and turn black, or would you rather just cough blood out of your lungs and die? I mean, it's really, you know, you got two good shots here. Take your poison, but I'm really looking forward to seeing the big basketball game Tuesday. As people are listening to this, they're probably getting ready to watch it or have just watched it. So hopefully that works out. And we got another game, I guess, coming up next weekend, right? We got that's one of the great things about basketball is you get a lot of games.
They just come at you. It keeps coming and coming and
coming. It just keeps coming, man. It's great. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for tonight. We will talk to you guys soon, and we'll look back at where things stand. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news between now and then, so we'll see. All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.